There's a call and a conviction that flows through all of today's readings that's truly hard to hear. First, we see the powerful call of Jeremiah. Jeremiah's a mere boy and reluctant to be a prophet of God. In verse 7 it says, "But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I'm only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you.'" God isn't thwarted by his excuses. God touches the boy's lips and fills him with words of power. Specifically in verse 10, we see the power to pluck up and pull down and to destroy and overthrow and to build and to plant. Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells us there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And I think we can all agree that spiritually the power of the prophetic promise given to Jeremiah is the prophetic power that now and should inhabit the church. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." However, such a power has been abused and misused for centuries. As a church, how often have we slanted our behavior towards the pulling down and the destroying side of this prophetic power? Such a prophetic power is a double-edged sword. What is plucked up must be replanted. What is pulled down must be rebuilt. And second, from this prophetic call, we move to the Apostle Paul's conviction that love abides above and beyond all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 13 is a famous biblical passage. It's a passage that's often fills people with warm, fuzzy, and nostalgic thoughts. However, these are dangerous words. Paul has given voice to God's vision for the body of Christ, God's vision of his church. These are ultimate words of prophecy, especially for the followers of Christ who take up their God-given initiative to care for souls. Proverbs 18:21 puts it this way: "The tongue has the power of life and death." The stakes are very high, my friends. Your words can either speak life or your words can speak death. Our tongue can build others up and they can tear others down. It is a scientific fact that an unchecked fire doubles in size every minute. And there lies the big question. Do our prophetic words both comfort God's people and simultaneously call them to embody the love that Paul so eloquently describes? Thirdly, and the gospel reading is now in focus, which tells us that Jesus is rejected by his own people. After reading these lines from Isaiah's promising release and redemption and healing for those who have been cast off by the world, his audience seems well pleased with his words, even proud of the hometown boy made good. But then Jesus presses on, he presses in, and I paraphrase here. He says, no, it's as if he's saying, well, I talk about God coming to free the oppressed and bless the poor. I'm talking about God blessing the people you can't stand and the people that you don't want near and the people you think are your enemies. And so he reminds them of a couple of stories where God blessed not Israel, but Israel's enemies. Let's pick it up in verse 25 and through to 28. He says, "But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months. And there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except for the widow of Zarephath in Sidon. There was also many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman, the Syrian. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They're so boiling mad that they're ready to get rid of this so-called prophet. Jesus fulfills scripture in the presence of a hostile crowd. And yet the crowd don't want to change their ways to embrace this love. They want to remain as they have been always, a hostile people, those who pull down. They resolve to push Jesus off the nearest cliff. They resolve to cancel Jesus and his prophetic message in the most shocking way. However, there is a scandal that the gospel text presents us with, and that is, if we're honest, we can see our own faces in the crowd. We have all shouted along with the crowd to rid ourselves of convictions. We have all wanted to choose bitterness over forgiveness and hatred and fear over love and reconciliation. And if there's one line that sums up the Jesus we discover in Luke's account, it is this: God came to redeem everyone. And when we focus on redeem, it's good news. However, when we focus on everyone and then call to mind those who believe or we believe have wronged us, those who have frightened us, those who are different, or those who seem unnatural, that same line, God came to redeem everyone, is now terrifying. To why we deserve something and presumably others don't, as we recognize that deserving, like walls, simply has no place in the kingdom of God, my friends. And fourthly, let's circle back to the words of the psalmist who remind us that God will rescue us yet again. That in being drawn back into God's love, we lose all claims to why we deserve something and presumably others don't. And God will put God's words in my mouth once more, the psalmist says. God will lend me the strength to wade through the confusion and the conflict. And once again, God will dream that vision of love that might flow through our worship and convict us all once again that there is a better way to embody Christ in the world. So these texts are rich with power and images that tell God's continuous story in the world. That prophetic word is forming on our tongue this week even. And so as we leave this place, we all share and are called to be God's prophets in the world, even though that can be very scary at times. So there is a God-given invitation before us in all of these texts from the lectionary readings. First, to join together to more fully embody Paul's prophetic words. The second, to explore just how much a part of the Jesus-rejecting crowd that we can be. Thirdly, to sing the song of reclaiming joy, just as the psalmist did. And fourthly, to allow the Holy Spirit to stir something in us, in you, as you seek to speak God's words. So please pray with me. Heavenly Father, may the love of God stream through us, so that by your Spirit, our lives may enrich the lives of others and glorify you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.